Hey, there we are. All right. All right. May I have the roll call, please?
Present.
Kapler?
Present.
Ormski?
Present.
Peters?
Present.
Lafferty? Stoltenberg?
Here. Here. Present and here. That's interesting. That's the first time that's happened. So, all right. So we had minutes from the last meeting, actually two meetings. We had one in between there. So I would entertain a motion on the meetings from May 17th and 24th.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the meetings from May 17th and May 24th.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of the meeting from May 17th and May 24th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. Okay, so welcome everyone to the Plan and Zone Commission for June 21st. We're now into summer, so that's a great thing. We only have a few things on the agenda tonight, but if you have a particular input at the appropriate time, I'm going to ask you to step back to the podium and then state your name and your interest in the case. We deal with matters of site plans and zoning and such, so with a number of you here, if anyone has any input, we'd love to hear it. So with that, Greg, we will begin.
Mr. Chairman, the first case we have tonight deals with an addition to the fire station to essentially City Hall, which they're looking at putting in another bay area adjoining this site. State Street is here, U Gilbert, where it leads up into 16th right there. This is the site looking straight on, and then the addition being placed over here. That's the current twin bridges, and this is looking behind toward the northeast at the current structure and the means of entry behind the structure. This is what was originally proposed, which is a smaller building addition right here, and then there's going to be an additional area, I believe, of a 19 extra feet headed that direction. This is the plat indicating location again, City Hall first edition, and there's still our easements going through that area. You have currently these easements here, and this for stormwater will be relocated, and there's also a gas main that's being relocated as part of the new site plan. So that material, you're essentially having the sanitary being located here, the gas going from this locale over to this area right here, the two biggest changes for any utilities, and then the larger footprint for that addition that's being added on. And this is a magnification of that. Again, the gas main newly located here, and then stormwater not going any longer this direction, but being rerouted down through this area. These are the elevations showing what that would look like upon adding the additional bays. Staff in reviewing this proposal recommends approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission? No questions from the commission?
I have one question, Greg.
Okay, Ann.
And this picture is perfect for me to use to ask my question. You showed us where the building expansion was going to be located. And we've looked at this before. The property line to the west, has that changed at all, or is that the same?
It's still the same, and there's some encroachment of the parking into our area, and I don't know how we might condition that, but to have maybe some type of cross easement or parking arrangement, because a portion of the parking right here is located on the city property. So we want to make sure we accommodate that as part of what would be used for this structure here.
I think a simple easement agreement will take care of that between
okay.
both parties.
We've had a lot of discussion about parking, so this isn't going to have any negative impact on the parking as it exists right now.
No, if we can provide more parking down there, that would be a good thing.
Okay. That's the only question I have.
Anyone else on the commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this matter? Nope. Okay, we'll come back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move we approve case number 17-057, the site development plan, subject to the staff recommendations.
Maybe with the additional notation about the
parking easement, yeah.
Provision, yep, okay.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 17-057, subject to staff recommendations and the additional notation on cross easement for the parking. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. 17-057 is approved. Okay, Greg?
The next submittal for us tonight is the essentially the replacement of Grantwood Elementary with a new structure. The location will approximately be in this area, I should say in this area right here for the new structure. Portion of this lot is in the 100-year down here and then in the 500-year, but none of the building area will be encroaching into that locale. You have a sewer connection that does run diagonally through the site, and you also have an added connection that will run down here for storm a lot near the boundary. Future site, again, is up further on the hill, but it's more centrally located on the parcel for this what will eventually be a walkout structure. So that you'll have entry in the first floor up on the north side, and then you'll have the means of exit, if you will, on the bottom on the south side. There will be detention provided, which will effectively cut off Hickory Lane from coming into this site. So the detention is going to be provided down here toward Hickory Lane in this area right here. This is the front on Hillside Drive, the existing structure being in this area. It will remain at some point and then will be removed. The school will be placed right in this area here, up in between essentially the school and the lower level ball diamonds. This is the outline of the new building right here. And then we have encroachment present structure up in this area. There will be a water diversion for stormwater necessary because the school is going to be at a lower elevation. There'll be some areas for detention, and then the water will eventually make its way down here, and then it will be exited out into this swale, which eventually goes to Duck Creek. Parking will remain here, and there'll be a means of entry, which will cycle in this direction and then out. This is the entry point, and this will be the place where the traffic will exit. You also have some access back in this area here for, I guess, some types of vehicles, the service, the school, and drop items off. Landscape count, what they did is they essentially spread the trees throughout. They more than meet the count for what is our requirements for landscaping for the site. And these are the elevations showing how the building will look. Staff in reviewing this proposal recommends approval with the conditions listed in the report. I would ask, are there any questions?
Thanks, Greg. Questions from the commission?
So the existing building is eventually going to be raised?
Yes.
Okay. And what's going to go in the location of the existing building? Is it just going to be green space?
Right now it's green space. And the parking requirement was met.
And you're not adding any new access points to the lot. It's just going to the access.
It's going to be the, pretty much the. It's going to be situated differently, but it's going to be still two access, and it's going to have that same rotation to it. The entry will be further to the west, and then the exiting will occur further to the east on the site.
Greg, referring to access there, what were you referencing when you talked about Hickory? Because Hickory doesn't currently access the site, does it?
No, it'll be cut off by this stormwater detention area right there.
That's where I'm going. Cut off, is it currently an access point?
It has the potential, but it is not.
No, it is not.
It is not. And the intent is to make sure that it probably, there won't be any traffic at any point in the future coming through there. I won't make any 100% guarantee, but with the detention system here, it's intended to inhibit that maybe occurring.
Yeah, because I see just the cul-de-sac, and then it appears to be grass, mm-hmm. and that'll be the future detention. Mm-hmm. And there's a sewer inlet, storm sewer inlet in there right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is currently a common place for people to park, taking their kids to the fields for
sporting events mm-hmm. and that. On the street.
But I'm sure the people in the cul-de-sac live in the cul-de-sac don't appreciate all the parents parking there. They might where the stormwater detention is going. Do they put up a barrier around that, Greg?
I don't think there's a barrier per se designed. It may be partially raised around there, but there is no per se a fence or anything like that.
So is it the plan to put some kind of a barrier at the end of that street to make it obvious?
I don't think there are any bollards or anything that are there. I mean, if that's something that we could work out with Public Works or something of that nature, because it's in the right of way.
If I may. I don't believe we've had people accessing the school property from Hickory, but there has been discussion that we would.
We may even have a member on the commission that's done it, Bill. We have two.
We'll deal with that later.
Yeah. Code enforcement, yeah.
But there is a concern from the residents that they really don't want the construction equipment accessing from that point.
Mm-hmm.
So we have had that discussion with the designers and with the school officials, and we'll make sure that that's not used as a construction access during the course of construction.
And in the future, the detention basin is going to be there, so you're going to have a drop off.
Right.
So unless you're in a Jeep, you're probably not going to jump the curb there and go into the.
You hear that, Janessa?
Yes, sir.
So it looks like it looks like maybe 5 foot deep.
Yeah.
So okay.
Probably deter people from parking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Other questions from the commission?
Considering that the detention basin is going to be on a, maybe I'm just being dense or overly conservative, but on a school property with elementary school children, wouldn't you want to have some sort of fence around the detention basin or barrier so that kids don't just wander into that and think it's a swimming hole?
Well, it's a dry basin. I mean, it's
okay,
only,
it's not going to hold water for any length of time.
No, it's not wet detention, so.
Okay.
Just that temporary time in between those rain events that it would, drain. So, no, there shouldn't be an issue there.
Okay.
So this water that's moving south from up on top of the hill down to this basin, is that moving on school property? Is it above ground, below ground?
Well, there's a storm sewer network for the parking area. It looks like they have maybe a bioswale or something along those lines at the south end of the parking lot there. And then it carries that down south along kind of the east property line down to the detention area.
What, how does that drainage move now, or does it? I mean, that school's been there a long time, so there weren't any.
There was no detention requirement at
the time. No detention requirement at that time.
So it all just sheet flows off the
mm-hmm.
site.
Okay. Greg, you showed us a picture that showed the ingress and egress, the U on the parking lot. How does that line up with the streets to the north?
This is Linden right here. So essentially, if you go back and take a look, this is Linden where I took this. So this is where it is right now, directly across the street from there. you go back here, it'll move to the west of Linden, and this will essentially, I believe, be about the same spot of exit.
So there's no direct north-south access from Spruce Hills Drive?
No. Your other street, I believe, they've shown it up here, so there's...
Speaking from experience, that'll be a good thing.
That will be a good thing.
Instead of cars coming straight down and shooting across to get into the parking lot, now they'll have to turn right.
Slow down.
And then turn left.
Okay, anyone else in the commission questions?
One more question. You said no construction access through Hickory Lane. So will construction access be off the parkway?
That would be correct. I got a call from the contractor on that, and they were asking about access, and that makes probably the most sense from mm-hmm. their standpoint. It's not shown on the plan, but I believe they have a temporary access that'll be routed through that site.
Okay. Because I'm sure there's going to be some parking issues during the construction with everything moving around, and logistically that sounds like a interesting project to me.
I think I saw the engineer, but the intent, I'm assuming, is to keep everything functioning the way it is, build it kind of like they did with Hy-Vee and Devil's Glen,
right,
and then move into it one day and then tear down. Anyone else in the commission? Okay, anyone in the audience with regard? Okay, take a number. I'll take the man in the black and white. Yes, sir.
My name is Lubo Duarco. I live on Hickory Lane, 1513, for 37 years. So I've been on the meetings about the school. It seems to be the picture is different today. In the past, they tried to build a house behind my house, and the state of Iowa proclaimed that whole place a flooded area. So Bednar City backed off of it. Half of the playground down by Hickory Lane, half a field is in the floodplain. Your sewer you're talking about, they just redone the whole cul-de-sac. That goes to the drain, and the way it's leaded out, it goes right in the ditch. There's an open pipe over there, and when you have a couple inches rain, you got Niagara Falls. All the back is nothing but a floodplain, and apparently can be built on unless it's built 6 feet above a last flood, which was all the way to the telephone pole. That's how the draining is. So city sold us a piece of land for a dollar we can't even walk on because it's a swamp. Now, if you're going to put the road from Parkway up, you're just going to, public is going to take care of that, and it's going to be driving that every day like they even do now over the grass. Your city employees or school employees, since they built a new cul-de-sac, just driving through Hickory Lane, cut their grasses and everything else, disregard people's property. So I don't know how you can people build anything down in that swampland, which you need probably pictures from state of Iowa, find out what that land is all about. I walked there, my kids are running around, I had cars coming down the field. People do whatever they want. You put the road over there, or you're just going to do a public, cut the corners, and you're going to build that road for public. I lived there 37 years, so I know what I've been through. I can tell every detail ever happened down there. But see, when I go to school meeting, and I see totally different plans, and this gentleman comes with plans over here, it's I guess they're going to do what they're going to do, how they want to do it, regardless of the people. Yeah, we don't want to have anybody going through Hickory Lane. Took me 5 years to complain to the city to redo it because my house is sinking, my driveway is sinking, the whole Hickory Lane got sinking. So finally you do it, are you going to drive your equipment in it? I don't think so. So think about it twice. Maybe you need to talk to people who live there long enough before you're going to make your plans. Because I'll tell you what, my house get hurt anymore. Now I'm not threatening anybody, but I'm just tired of fighting the city. I will get my lawyer or somebody, because I'll tell you what, a city lawyer, that time was Mr. Jagger, advised the city Bednor, drop the whole case in their good interest. So I think you should need to first find out about the land, which is in a historical floodplain, all the way down there, even half a playground, which is supposed to have a track and entertainment for kids. So what, are you going to build something down there now? A road for public? Or are you going to put the gate on every time school gets over? Everybody agreed with it on the school meeting, so I mean, you got a totally different picture. First, the school was going to be moved 30, 40 yards or whatever back. Now we're talking all over the hell. So there was a lot of people there. So why is such a different now? Before it sounded good, they didn't agree with me. Not that I, you know, I'm Mr. Know-it-all, but I lived there long enough, and they were interested. Listen to me, what I was saying. So there's people live there for anywhere between 10 to 40 years. I live in the neighborhood 40 years. It's 1976. They haven't done nothing to that school for those kids. Now we're going to go to extremes. So the only thing I'm asking is, before you do what you're saying you're going to do, think about it twice. Go to the state of Iowa. Find out what that piece of land is. And if you think on any kind of a sewer system down there, yeah, there's a sewer goes all the way across the field to that diamond on the southeast side, the southwest side, pardon me. That was plugged up last fall, all the way to the Hickory Lane. There's a drain from the rain going down alongside that diamond, alongside a fence, goes out, and there's no pipes. It goes right in the ditch. Those are concerned, kids going home from the school, you know, we got to keep it dry and stuff. They can't even go home through there anymore. Because if you do, you'll go ankle deep in the rain, in the mud. So I don't know how you can sit here and tell me you're going to build something on it, which was denied already about 20 years ago. City Bednor should have the facts on that. So everything is good when the sun is up and doesn't rain. Why don't you come over and cut my grass, sir? Then you'll find out what I'm talking about. Can't even walk in my backyard. City gave me for a dollar, and I'm paying nothing but taxes for it. And you want to build on it? Think about it twice. Thank you.
Thank you, Lou. Can we talk about the floodplain and note where that is?
There is no development that is going to take place in the floodplain.
So that is the 100-year floodplain line right there where we
yeah,
do?
Yeah, it is. It's noted on the site plan.
There will be a temporary construction access road that will go across that area during the course of construction.
So when Lou was referencing the access road from, I get my bearing here, the south, that will be a temporary construction. There will not be a permanent road that will be removed after construction.
That's correct. The intent, okay. Yes.
And it won't have any public access.
No.
It's only for
no.
construction.
Correct.
Parkway Drive.
Okay.
And Greg, roughly how far are we from the flood zone to the building, if one were to guess on that drawing there? Or if the engineers here can address that.
I don't have the scale.
Engineer can answer that.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Brett Fetter with McClure Engineering, representing the design team of Leggett Architects and the construction manager, Estes Corporation. The finished floor elevation of the lower level is about 23 feet above the floodplain elevation. The encroachment of the floodplain is pretty closely denoted by the yellow line. No permanent improvements will come within approximately 85 feet of that. The detention basin actual depth is about 3 feet deep. half of which on the southerly end will be elevated a foot and a half above existing, and on the northerly end depressed about a foot and a half. No access, no improvements, no changes, nothing is proposed for the cul-de-sac area to the southeast of the site. The temporary construction access will be to the west end off the south side. That'll be temporary during construction. The construction site itself, everything south of the existing building, south of the existing parking lot, the entire construction site will be enclosed in a chain link fence 24/7, and when there isn't construction going on the site, the gate will be locked at the construction access road down along the creek. So, you know, obviously we all have the student safety in mind and the neighbors as well. All drainage improvements are occurring, diverting drainage that has been going off-site to the site through the detention basin. I think some confusion may exist between the sewers at the south side, the open pipe discharging into the ditch along the roadway, that is a stormwater pipe or it's just rainwater runoff, and that will be slowed down through the detention basin and also the water quality basin. The diagonal pipe running to the southwest is a sanitary sewer pipe, and that will handle, you know, the toilets and sinks and so forth from the school. Those are totally separate. They will remain segregated. The number of access points from the north existing are three. We're reducing that to two, and we're increasing the offset from Linden to the north, which improves safety, I think, as one of the commissioners mentioned earlier. So we're actually improving safety. During peak hours, the exit along the east side will be right turn only exit, which will improve congestion and reduce the impact on the local residents in terms of the traffic.
Brett, can you address too, if you know or can calculate, give us a guesstimate, the amount of impervious surface today as is versus what it will be? Is there a net increase or decrease in impervious?
Yeah, there is a net increase in impervious. I don't have the numbers with me. We've gone through all the calculations for the city, but we're waiting on final design development documents to get the actual final numbers submitted to Mr. Freeze for his review and concurrence. But the actual volume of the increase is represented by the detention basin. And in addition, we're complying with the new city ordinance that requires the water quality retention basin and infiltration. So we're addressing water quality, water volume, and reducing total runoff rate relative to the entire site as it exists right now.
So what I'm hearing, and thank you for that information, is that in your professional engineer opinion, there's going to be less water impact as a result of the development than there is today.
The runoff rate will decrease from the existing runoff rate because it goes through the detention basin. The total quantity of runoff will remain unchanged or slightly increased, but we're reduced in...
You're holding it in places that otherwise would run off.
We're interested in reducing the peak flow so that it doesn't inundate, so it's released more gradually than it currently is. There'll be a substantial reduction in the release rate from the site.
Especially at peak water
Absolutely.
Events.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that input. We might need some more based on other comments we have, so stay close.
Will do.
Okay. Yes, Lou, did you have a follow-up?
Would you mind?
Yeah, go, please.
I'm on the meeting.
Hey, it's all the same. The price is all the same. Yeah.
In fact, I even talked to these gentlemen in the school, I think. Didn't I?
Not me.
No, it was... There it goes, right there is the culprit.
Now, if they're going to make that temporary road, like you said, that's fine. But you have to put something under that road so the water drains. Because there's no tiles. There's nothing there. We're walking in the mud. City gave it up. Whatever grass is left over there, it's there. They don't want to cut it. They bury their big little fat tire garden tractor in there, too. So there's a nasty, nasty problem. I don't know if there's a spring over there or whatever, but in the past when they had these problems, city was concerned about the kids' safety. And anything built above it, you know, we above anything my property or anybody else's, then it causes us problem that's no good either. So that's not supposed to be done also. So, you know, when they come with all these floodplains and stuff, and they're talking building this and this and that, if I want to build something, you tell me no. So, you know, I mean, you're going to run the sewer down to the line when it goes from Hickory across the field. Now, how that goes when it fills up from there, that last bald diamond, right in the corner southwest of that field. And the second, that hole, is filled up to the lid. Now you're going to drain more, whole school into it. Now you're going to have to repair it for bigger pipes, but I tell you what, it's, you know, I'm not Mr. Nordo, I'm not no architect. I just try to tell you, fill you in on stuff. I've been there for 37, 38 years. And that's as much as people driving, make a road out of Pitts' Field, and everything else you name it. So think about it. Yeah, really think about it.
I can assure you that the development standards for you as an individual are the same for the school, so there's no special provisions. If it's unbuildable for the school, it's unbuildable for you. The rules are the same, so.
I do, yeah, I agree with you, but like I said, before you do something like that, I think probably the sewer system is the worst problem over there. It's been, believe me, it's backing up and stuff. Ask your guys who try to clean them out. They'll tell you, they're out there all the time. There's a problem with it. Everything's outdated. When they put new, that water drain right behind the cul-de-sac, all the bricks all fall down. It's all deteriorating. And all that stuff from the parking lot and in the, some of the hillside goes right alongside the, on the east side of the field, I don't know how far from the fence, and shoots right in the ditch out there in open pipe. So it ain't helping any, you know. So people don't want to believe me. Come on, see me tomorrow. I'll give you a tour. You're not going to like it.
Okay, thank you, Lou.
Thank you very much.
And from that standpoint, Brian, this development, the way it's presented, meets all criteria for the city as stipulated?
That's correct. I mean, we still have to go through our review for, you know, site plan and stuff like that, or construction plans. But outside of that, yeah.
Okay. We had two others. Yes, sir.
My name is Mike Schulbrock. I live on 1324 Parkway Drive. I live on which would be the west side of that property. The issues that I've got is, first off, the access, getting into the construction site. Okay, what they're looking at accessing is actually in the flood zone. Okay, if we have a rain, there's 2 foot of water standing in there. The first thing, the first issue that I've got is what are they doing about that water? Because it actually flows from the west side over to the east side, okay? So it flows west to east. there's culverts up there. There's a bunch of rocks that the city put there to keep from critters and all that. There's actually culverts that actually run from what should be the north side of the school. There's another stone sewer up there that flows all the way down, comes across, and around there. Now, when it rains heavily, like I said, that whole area floods. And you're wanting to put an access road over there? Well, where's that water going to go? I mean, even on a regular rain, you're a foot of water sitting in there. All right? I've got 3 manholes that sit right in front of my house. There's one in my yard that I have to trim around every day. There's one that sits out in the road, and then there's one on the opposite side of the road. Okay, when Duck Creek does come up, it comes all the way up to the road. All right, where's all this stormwater that you guys are saying is coming down the east side? Where's that going to? You're saying it goes east. What about the stuff on the west side? And then the other issue that I've got is the construction right next to my house. I mean, you guys are looking at moving in some heavy equipment. I'm not new to this. I know what construction is. I'm a plumber. I know exactly what it is. But yet this is the first time I've ever heard of an access road next to my house. All right, what about my privacy and the quietness around my house. Nobody ever thought about that. But I mean, you guys, this plan here is not the plan that we all saw. And you're talking about moving the school down the hill into the schoolyard. Well, now you got, that's closer to my house. There again, I got kids already throwing stuff in my yard. I've got kids that go to that school. Well, they did. The flooding is bad enough the way it is, so my house flooded in 91 and I think in 94 as well. Where's all that rainwater running off to? You're saying it's going over to the east side, but what about the stuff on the west side?
Can you ask Brett and Brian to address the water movement a little bit on site? And regarding the construction, there are two things I have. I've heard a couple of references. Lou and Mike both made reference to what the school has shown them, which is apparently different than what is before this commission for decision today.
I can weigh in on that. I've been in and out of meetings as part of this process. The original drawing they had showed the new construction being as close as 15 foot to the existing school. There were some issues with soil problems there. They would have had to have come in and underpin the existing foundation under the building, so they decided to move it a little bit farther away, which gives them a little more ability to work around the structure. So that's the change that I'm aware of.
Okay. Brett, any insight in the flow of water, and Brian together?
Yeah, he's mostly right on almost every instance with regard to the drainage pattern, and we've actually analyzed it and evaluated and improved it in multiple instances, specifically during construction. We're diverting downspouts and the flow around the west side of the existing building into temporary piping and diverting that into the storm sewer structure, so we're not going to have as much surface runoff during the construction period. And then post-construction, we're diverting all of the drainage from the west side of the school over to the east side into the detention basin. So again, we're overcompensating for the west side and moving it so we have one centralized detention basin on the east side of the lot. Now, with regard to the construction, obviously if there's flooding of the creek to the extent where the roadway's flooded, then Estes has to work with the city to arrange alternate access to the site. That's been discussed by Estes and have anticipated the potential of flooding of the creek over the roadway. Water in the actual ditch on the north side of the roadway, whether it's a result of high water or intermediate runoff from the rain, the construction entrance will have an oversized culvert underneath of it to allow the drainage to go through, almost matching the size of the culvert that takes drainage from both directions underneath the roadway and discharging into the creek. That's a 24-inch culvert that goes underneath that way, and we're putting an 18 just for the west side. The east side, high point, and everything from the drainage is unchanged with regard to the drainage coming from the east side along the roadway ditch. It's not really a ditch, it's just a low area north of the curbed section of the road. So we've obviously we're aware of concerns, we're aware of regulations, and we want to make things as good as possible both during construction and mostly after construction.
Okay, Mike, did you have a follow-up question for Brett then?
Are there plans to propose to upgrade the whole storm sewer system? Because right now the city of Bendorf is buying out houses along Parkway Drive because the storm sewer system's not capable of handling what it's taking now. All right? And then with the runoff from the houses just on our road, it creates a creek down through there. You're saying a 24-inch? In the ditch?
Across the roadway, underneath the roadway.
I'm talking in the ditch. In the ditch there, you're going to have to get across that ditch with heavy equipment, so I'm assuming you're going to put a culvert there?
Yes.
okay? But that's still going to dam up the water. I live there. So you're telling me no?
I'm not telling you anything. All I know is the answer to the question. So.
Okay, well, my house hasn't flooded since 93, so okay. We'll see you in court.
Is the land stuff changed? Why the whole land stuff changed?
Well, I think Bill just addressed that there were soil conditions that mandated moving the building a little farther south, but it's still well within the non-flood zone.
You're going to flood out my house.
I've not heard anything that says that the rate of water, what I've heard the engineer say is that the rate of water will be slowed down so it won't enter the areas to the south where you're located as rapidly. That's what I heard.
What are you guys doing with the water from the west side to get it over the, from the west side over to the east side?
Are you talking about permanently or during the construction process?
Both. Because the where I'm at sits lower than the other side.
I see our engineer out there for the last 30 years. I don't know where he does. We built the school from little blocks. How is this going to be? We're sitting over here, it's totally different. But somebody made up a different mind behind a closed door, not even a trap, proposed to everybody. We sat there with people, red, blue, white, little blocks, and telling us how to build it, how the school is going to be. And it's totally different. They were going to make parking lot below the school, to part of the field in the hill, come that way down, whatever, come back up, parking alongside the fence and on the front. So where the kids going to play their little football and soccer and all that, you're going to build a school there. Down in the ditch, ain't going to happen.
Well, again, the only explanation I have, Lou, on what changed was because of the soil conditions. They moved it from the original location, which was, Bill, what'd you say, about 15 feet.
Existing.
So I don't know what they showed before, but all that we have in front of us is what was presented and part of the public record and provided with the notice. So if they showed you guys something else, it's not what was submitted to the city and what's before us.
They were sitting there.
And we're getting into a lot of he said, she said, but I want to vet this properly. So give us some insight.
Sure. I'm Jeff Sandberg with Leggett Architects. I met with this great gentleman during our collaborative design session, and that was the first kickoff for the preliminary where we take these cubes and we start to allocate space and we move it around on the site, but that was way early in the process. So obviously as we get moving through the design process, things change. So he is factually correct that we all sat there with the little cubes, moved them around, but the general location of the building has been always on the playground area. I mean,
that's where it's going to be.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
The bad playground, right? Yep.
Okay, and we had somebody else that wanted to come. I see two hands back there. Yep. Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Oh, okay. My name's Kathy Wymore, and we live up on Hillside Drive. We're more concerned about the traffic patterns of the school because it's horrible now. And from that map, it doesn't look to me like the parking's changing at all. That it's still just a small parking lot, which to me, I think they should add more parking and make a better traffic pattern. Right now, people park on the side of the street that has a no parking sign that they park directly under. there's just not enough when they have events and before and after school pickup. It's crazy over there. They park in front of our parking or in front of our driveway. So in our driveway. that's what we're concerned about is the traffic on the upside.
Okay, thank you. Brett, can you address net number of parking spaces today, net number of parking spaces in the future?
Yes, there's the current parking is 57, and we're increasing the building population by 50%, and we're increasing the parking by almost 100%. So we're nearly doubling the parking to just over 100 spots, not counting any of the spots down and back and below for maintenance and service vehicles. And the The issue with regard to, we call them pocket community schools, in existing and established residential neighborhoods, obviously we're faced with a situation where times have changed and more people drop their kids off at school. We try to accommodate them with a significantly almost tripled queue length for the number of vehicles that can park along the U-shaped turn to pick up their kids safely from perimeter or sidewalks. We talked about other options for improving traffic flow during pickup and drop-off time that I think were not real palatable to staff and local residents, like such as creating temporary one-way traffic to improve the pattern, and a couple other traffic control items. But given the 50% increase in population at the school, we're tripling the queue area for kids to be picked up within the property itself, and doubling the number of parking spots available.
Thanks. And Craig, can you do me a favor on that drawing that you've got up right now? Just outline the what the circulation in the queue will be, because when I look at the aerial now, they come in, there's a loop, and it actually goes through the existing parking lot. This rotation does look significantly improved because it doesn't take you through existing parking either.
Correct. Essentially right now, this is the existing building, and the safe queue for the kids is about in this length right here where they have a sidewalk adjacent.
And we can see that on the aerial. Just flip to the aerial on the first page for a minute, Greg, if you would. And we can see that with the park right there. You can see the little U-shape right there.
So this area right here is what we would consider the safe queue area, where you have a sidewalk adjacent to the car so the kids can get in the right side of the car. So the length of that, we're obviously extending farther to the south and all the way, and extending the sidewalk all the way around the entire perimeter. But we get two-lane, one-way traffic loop, so you can stack your cars all the way around that entire perimeter of the parking lot. A sidewalk provided for the kids so that they can get into the right side of the car without stepping out into traffic, without crossing into areas where, you know, they could be potentially hit by a car. So that alone is going to improve the pickup and drop off of the kids and the safety overall. Whether we can get everybody to comply with it is another matter that we all have to deal with on a daily basis at a school. But certainly we're providing the opportunity for them to have a safe environment.
Yeah, I do think it is an improvement, and people are like cats. They're hard to herd sometimes. So, and I can sympathize with your current situation out there, and it does look like from a flow standpoint, it's going to greatly improve. So, that's the ditch area in front you're talking about, where you have to build the road across, right?
Yep, and that's the ditch area. They don't mow because it's flooded most of the time.
That doesn't been taken on a sunny day. They've been on a rainy day.
Sure, it always has water in
there. Yeah. Yes, sir, in the brown.
Randy Wymore, 1410 Hillside Drive. I just a follow-up question in regard to traffic. So in your estimation, will this plan alleviate the on-street parking?
Can I answer that question?
Sure, because I can't.
When Hopewell Elementary School was built in off Hopewell Avenue in Pleasant Valley, we looked at this very closely. We added enough parking to handle probably the biggest event they're going to have there, that is located on the east side of the building. We get constant complaints from the neighbors up on Joshua and the adjoining neighborhoods because nobody wants to go into those parking lots. They want to park on the street. I can't figure out why. Nobody can figure out why, but that's just a phenomenon. You go up to Paul Norton School, you've got plenty of drive and plenty of parking area in there. Everybody's parked right along Crow Creek Road to pick their children up. So I don't know what the issue is with the people don't want to come into parking lots, but I mean, all we can do is make sure they provide ample parking. We can't make them not park on the street.
One of the unique features of that street, at least for our property, is it has a low curb. It doesn't have a standard curb that it allows people, when they park there, they want to get as close off the street as possible. So they actually drive up on my yard. And for years I fought it, and over the last 5 years I've just given up. But basically what happens is, you know, through the school year, they drive up on the yard, and I know that, you know, there's an easement, and I don't actually own that, but basically nothing grows there. Except when they're not there, we get weeds in the summertime. So at least there's something that does grow, you know, part of the year. But during the school year, nothing grows there. So I actually emailed Public Works recently about that. They were going to come out, take a look at it, and get back to me. They never have. So, and I haven't followed up on that either. But even if there was just a standard curb, that would keep people from driving up onto the property. And I know it's a small thing, but, you know, everybody wants a nice looking property, a nice looking yard. You know, I'm no different. So that's my main concern.
Thank you, appreciate it. And there's some things, number one, this body can't address or can't fix. We can sympathize with it. We can address things that are matters appropriately before the commission. And just for clarity on that, just so I don't get any kind of false expectations on your part, our job is to make sure that the plans in front of us meet the code requirements of the city, and that there are no exceptions, and that it works as best as it can. So to the extent it meets code requirements, and that's why I was looking at Brian earlier, and it meets the calculations of drainage and flood control and all those things, we as the Plan and Zone Commission don't have a power to change that. We can't overrule a site plan because we don't like the way the water flows if the engineering department and the code has been met. So there's things that we can address. If there were matters of landscaping or other aspects that we could fix, we would work on that. The street comment and the curb's a good one. I don't know if that's a feasible thing to address or not with the city. Brian's here, and he's now heard that somebody needs to get back to him about the email, at least communicate. So from that standpoint. And I'll also make a comment, and I've lived near one as well. Anytime you live near a school, a business, whatever, that has a lot of high volumes, especially like this, where there's peak sessions in the morning or afternoon or events, you face those troubles. It's one of those things that everybody made a choice kind of when they decided to live there. Some might have looked at the house on a Saturday when it was nice and quiet, and then, holy cow, look what happened on Monday morning. But all part of the neighborhood. I think Brett had made the comment about schools being inset in neighborhoods. When this school was originally put in, probably a lot of the kids walked to school. Now they don't go to school unless they jump out of an SUV. So it's changed in our life, and so have the dynamics around it. Again, can't fix it, but sympathize with some of the struggles, and to the extent we can work together and make it better, we'll try and do that. So kind of the end of my speech, but yeah. Anyone else in the audience with regard to this matter? The construction, you mean?
Yeah.
I live in a new house, and I've got a new house on construction on one side, and another one they just dug a hole in the other, and for the next 10 years.
No, we didn't. We live here.
Well, I know, but.
And now you're talking about not only are we going to flood because you're getting rid of all this, and now we've got noise and our dogs barking nonstop, and then you guys will have the police over because of the noise ordinance because the dogs are going nuts.
I can't fix that. I know it's going to be a period of time of construction. I guess the, you know, and we can discuss back and forth, but the premise I'm hearing is then don't build the school. I think there's a great need for the school. And maybe the school, if they're adding the population by 50%, I think there's a need, but.
No, sir, they actually thought about it, close that school. I mean, it's such a big demand for it. Nobody says, I wish the kids, I hope they do something good for it. And I know the school has to be built. I'm not disagreeing or arguing with that at all. But as they doing it, us as the neighbors who lived there 10 years, 30, 70 years, so I bought that house. Okay, for that reason. That's fine, build out there twin towers, I don't care, as long as it doesn't affect my living. Mm-hmm. I know it'll change. I understand every bit of that. And I'm happy. My grandkids went there, my kids went there. So for 40 years living there, never nothing enough to that school. So I'm happy they're doing it.
Yeah.
Do you know the estimated length of?
Please.
The what?
Estimated length of construction time.
Oh, I didn't hear. Brett, what's the anticipated architect construction time?
Maybe that would.
Randy, you want to take that from Estes? Estes is the construction manager. Can you answer the construction timeline?
Anticipated construction.
Starting this summer.
Randy Fuller with Estes Construction. We're the construction manager for the project. The anticipated construction will be earthwork beginning this summer in 2017. And we are looking at approximately a one-year duration, finishing summer, early fall of 2018.
Okay, thank you, Randy.
Well, I know I didn't finish, but I'm just asking you, please, whatever you're going to do, don't drastically change my way of living also. That's all I'm asking for. And I know in that neighborhood, like, people know me on the hillside, they try to clean the sewer over there and end up going to people's basements or anything else, and they're redoing everything because in that part of the Bed North, everything is outdated. They just pulled the drain pipes in the back of my yard. They're metal, they were full of holes. And that's the whole Bed North is out there. So I think I'm just asking, please, don't make my life any worse.
And we're not trying to, Lou. We've got my references, the code, and the information in front of me has met the code, but that's why we want to vet this properly here so that all the parties involved can hear. Jeanette, so
yeah, could Brian maybe also speak for clarity on how it meets the code so that they know the back of their yards aren't going to be flooded during construction, maybe like silt fencing and, you know, other manners that the city takes to help protect the properties?
As far as the erosion or the drainage?
Both.
Okay. Well, as far as the drainage, I mean,
hey, everybody, everybody.
We're answering your questions.
Yep. Hang on, we're trying to answer the, or address some follow-up on the drainage.
I mean, we do have a detention ordinance. They are meeting the requirements. The site previously sheet flowed. Now we're picking up some of that drainage and detaining it, which is a good thing, to release it at a slower rate, as we've kind of discussed. As far as the erosion issue that you're speaking to, there will be an erosion control plan. It will have to go through a permitting process and be approved by Public Works prior to any grading activity taking place on site.
So you don't anticipate any issues of people's properties being, you know, flooded or issues with during the construction process?
There wouldn't be any more than what they've experienced, whatever they have in the past. That's what I could tell you.
You're putting a road across.
I got to leave. Because if you got a hose in the pipes, I'm going to have more water if you put decent pipes in it. And you're an engineer. Why are you disappointing me?
My please.
No,
please.
He's talking out his league.
Okay.
He's talking out his league. You people invite us because we live there. They just pulled pipes this big behind my yard, metal one, full of nothing but a whole stone disintegrated. You're going to tell me you're going to put new ones in, you're going to have less water, more water? Think about what you just said.
I'm talking about the school site, sir.
The whole area, sir.
I'm talking about the school site and what is being. Okay, I'll stop talking.
Mr. German. Okay, okay.
The access.
Sure.
The issue that I got is going to go in the southwest corner,
mm-hmm.
right next to my house. Okay. They're going to put culvert there and then gravel over the top, right?
That's correct.
Okay. That's going to create a dam.
There's the potential for that, yes.
That's the point.
Okay. What we can do, though, and I understand your concern, we can look at sizing that properly for a 100-year event as opposed to, I don't know what currently what they have proposed for that temporary pipe, because it's a temporary pipe now that's just for construction. So, you know, we could look at that as a possibility. And sizing that to make sure that in a 100-year event, which if we have one of those, looking at the map here, you're going to have an issue anyway. It's going to fill up, and you're going to be inundated anyway, whether that pipe fills up or not. I mean, you're in a floodplain, according to this map anyway, the FEMA maps.
I am in a floodplain.
Okay.
But the grass soaks up a lot of it.
But if we put a pipe in that could handle a 100-year event, which is what this map shows, it's not going to do anything to restrict that flow. At that point, you're going to be there anyway. Anyway, is my point.
Yeah.
The dispersion of the water then coming down there. Because like right now, I don't get any water in my basement. Now you start adding flow down through there. Is it going to push it towards my property?
What I'm saying is, look at sizing that culvert properly, for the temporary culvert properly, to make sure that for that 100-year storm event. I mean, we can't prevent.
So you're getting rid of the dirt, though, the green space. So that will be.
On a temporary basis, there will be an access point there, yes.
Yes. So, and I mean,
that is correct.
The city even.
I understand what you're. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You're saying we're going to block the ditch. I get what you're getting at, and that's the idea behind the culvert. That's.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
Right.
And Mike, what I'm hearing Brian say is that he's already considering putting a larger culvert pipe in there than what they've discussed originally.
We'll look at that. I mean, we need to see what it's sized for. I haven't seen a plan on that. That's what I'm saying for this temporary culvert.
So that could allow even more, potentially allow more water to move through there.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Brian.
Whatever they want, we'll throw in 2 18-inch, we'll throw in a 24. It's temporary for construction. If they want two of them, we'll put in two of them. It's insignificant cost, and if it makes them feel better about the safety of their home, we can throw in a couple of pipes instead of just one and go with there. We have no objection to that.
Okay. As it relates to the site we're talking about, we know from what we've been hearing here that there are drainage and water issues that exist already there, and there are issues that relate to that. So when this final construction is complete, are those water issues going to be improved from a drainage standpoint? Are they going to be the same, or are they going to be worse?
There's nothing in the creek floodway that we can do or the city can do to improve flooding along the creek. It's in a floodplain. All of the improvements that we're doing to this site are 100% out of the floodplain, we're improving drainage patterns, and we're improving water quality runoff. We're decreasing the release rate, not only for the new design, but based on current water runoff. So
improvement. So taking into consideration,
the school district is improving the overall situation.
Okay, so that was my question. And when the construction is finally complete, it sounds like you're taking measures to attempt to make that drainage and water system better than it currently is.
It will absolutely make things better than it is.
Because we're talking.
I never say absolutely, but we were absolutely going to make things better than it is right now.
I think part of the problem has been for them is the drainage from the north to the south, correct?
That's the
north to the south.
Right.
East to the left.
And
now,
so
my question is, and I apologize for interrupting. Is it improving it for the site only, or is it improving it just for, or is it improving it for
as a whole. I think it's for...
My belief would be that it would improve it not only for the site, but for the adjoining properties such as yours. I would assume that if it's improved for the site, it's going to improve the adjoining properties.
That's because less water will be coming down to your area at the rate it used to, because it's going to be slowed down in its process. The net volume won't change, but the rate that it comes to you will. So by, I guess, assumption or conclusion, the impact should be less.
Because it's a storm water that we're talking about coming north to south. So when this was built before, currently all of the new regulations with stormwater utility and all of that hasn't really, this has not been upgraded, is that right, Bill?
That's correct. They don't have detention on site currently.
Pardon me?
They do not have detention on site currently.
Right. So what they're doing is, with all of this, they're diverting, it sounds like to me like they're diverting the water that currently is going down the east perimeter of, on the west perimeter of the building, they're actually diverting that water away from your property into the detention pond, which will definitely help that bottom of when the creek is coming up. It's going to be better. There are new rules and regs now, so I think it will be better.
But if we have a 100-year flood event and your house is in a floodplain, it will still flood. We can't fix that.
Whether they build a new school or not.
And keep in mind, we're talking about the runoff, the rain. We're not talking about the sewer system. It sounds at times we're getting those mixed.
Yeah, this is not sewer. This is stormwater runoff.
There probably is some sewer issues down in that area because of the age of the pipes, but that's not what we're talking about. That's a whole separate issue.
No, that's the storm sewer is undersized, which is the reason why we're buying all the properties east of, or west of us.
That's not entirely true.
No, I don't think that makes any difference. You're in a 100-foot, you're in the 100-year floodplain because of the creek in general. So
can you address that, Bill? That comment about that.
The buyout program that the city is currently partnering up with the federal government on is a result of drastically increasing rates for flood insurance. Many people's flood insurance has increased tenfold, and that is the reason why we are partnering with the federal government on a flood-prone buyout program down in the area.
Okay. Brett, you were standing up there. Did you have anything else to add? And then we're gonna wrap it. Okay.
Got some questions on traffic when we get that far.
You have a question?
Yeah, okay. And this might be for Brian and Brett. The exit out of your new traffic pattern was a right only. I question why we're not right and left so that you can go up to the traffic light on Middle Road.
The right exit only is only during peak hours. So during non-peak hours, when the student drop off and pick up is going on, they're allowed to turn right or left. The main thing that we want to do is we want to eliminate the number of vehicle pinch points where vehicles have a tendency to cross each other. So if vehicles are coming westbound, it would queue up traffic too far to wait for a space to exit. So the traffic flow, just a right turn only, can have a lot more gaps to get out of the parking lot. So it's just an efficiency way. Unless you want to put somebody out there controlling traffic, it's a traffic efficiency to move cars as quickly as possible off the site. And so if they have to go a block to the east and then north or south, I think the efficiency on the site and moving the vehicles off the site, it has more value than being able to turn left.
I think you need to revisit that. Having been in and out of there, of course it's been many, many years, but numerous times in a day, I think the unintended consequences might be accidents up on Middle Road when people try to turn left off of, what is it, Olympia?
Spruce Hills, you mean?
Spruce Hills, I'm sorry. Spruce Hills.
Where there's no light.
Where there's no light.
Mm-hmm. And it's busy.
You've got two lanes coming out of here. If one's going left and their intent is to go up to the light, that makes sense. If their intent is to try to get on through to head west, I think they'll quickly learn that won't be such an easy task, and they'll go up to the light. Just, I think you need to relook at that. I think you really need to use that light that's up there on Spruce Hills.
The
or it needs to be moved.
The two lanes, the right lane during pickup and drop off is a queuing lane for parents to park waiting for their kids. So there's actually truly only one lane exiting. And if we set aside some distance from the intersection where the parking lot exits, whatever distance to allow them to snake past each other and turn right and or left, we lose that queuing length for the parents to pick up their kids. So everything we do in a neighborhood setting like this has a trade-off. I think your public safety away from the site is certainly a valid concern, and I think we would encourage engineering staff's input on the working for a good solution with the district.
Okay. Okay.
That'd be the answer.
We're concluding the public input portion. Thank you again for your comments. We do value it. Again, we are limited in the amount of non-code type input that we can address. So we have a site plan, development plan before us. I would ask if we have any further discussion from the commission. All right. If not, I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 17-058, subject to staff recommendations.
I'll second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to approve case 17-058. Any discussion on the motion? No. I would just again reiterate, I appreciate the input from everyone. The matters before us, and I do intend to vote in favor of it, and the reason I'm voting in favor of it because it meets the criteria that's put before the Plan and Zone Commission and its job to review site plans, and according to the criteria we're given, it meets those developments. With that being said, I think there's been sufficient discussion here to encourage additional communication with the city and the engineer, both with regard to the size of the pipes that we put in, so that we're not creating any enhanced drainage issues for the adjacent homeowners, as well as communicating when this goes to council that the proper considerations are taken into view as well. So with that, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. 17-058 is approved. Okay. Does that take us to Bill?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, subsequent to your last meeting, City Council was busy as you sent them a number of things to consider.
Exciting stuff.
830 State Street, that was the land use and rezoning for the CAT clinic at the public hearing at first reading last night. That was approved. If you remember, we had several land use and rezonings to consider for several lots at the AAA office park. Those were all heard last night. First readings were all approved. Final plat of the Woodlands first edition was approved. The final plat and the site development plan for 1500 State Street, that's the Twin Bridges site, was approved. Final plat and development plan for the Fountains 8th edition was approved. The preliminary plat, the final plat, and the site development plan for the Betplex complex was approved. And the site plan for 3627 Devil's Glen Road, the Bike and Brew, was approved.
A lot of stuff going on there, Bill.
It was.
Kevin Kelmer wasn't here tonight. That's so weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Strange.
Kind of miss him.
Wasn't
all right. Well, anything else for the good of the order this evening?
We are currently updating our zoning and land use maps. Greg's been working feverishly on that for the last couple of weeks. As soon as we get those updated, we're going to take the zoning ordinance forward to City Council and start working on that adoption process. I'm anxious to start using the new document in reality.
Okay, great, great. Appreciate all the work on everything, guys and ladies. So with that, I will say we are adjourned.